Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. Wealthy countries set a goal a while back to provide $100 billion in annual climate aid to poorer countries. And we found out recently that they accomplished that goal, but were 2 years late. And now they've got to do it all over again. Rich countries are negotiating this year for the next amount of money they're willing to give. And it's definitely going to be a tougher task because the cost of fighting climate change is set to skyrocket and countries are already drawing battle lines. All this really matters because rich countries have promised to help developing countries who want to reduce their emissions. So today, Politico's Zach Coleman and I talk about how wealthy nations were late on climate aid and why the price tag is getting higher. It's Friday, May 31st.
So on Wednesday, the OECD published a report that showed in 2022 that rich developed nations had actually hit their $100 billion target to deliver climate finance to developing nations. They were supposed to do that in 2020. They did overshoot that in 2022 by providing $115.9 billion. So it was the largest ever single year increase, about a $26.3 billion increase over 2021, but it was still late. So I think that's one of the things that we're going to have to wrestle with going forward here with climate finance is this money took so long to get delivered, and yet we also know that the tab is rising and it wasn't enough to begin with.
Yeah, now rich countries need to do this all over again, as you report, and hammer out a new target at this year's COP29 climate talks in November. So how much more money is actually needed and what kind of things would it go toward?
Yeah, I mean, there's varying accounts of how much more money is needed. There's a few analyses that people have glommed onto. One is this independent high-level expert group of economists and social scientists that basically put the tab at annual developing country needs for hitting 1.5C is $2.4 trillion through 2030. So that's a lot of money. Now, not all of that would come from public spending. In fact, just a small fraction of that would be public spending from rich countries. So they're looking at 150 to 200 billion from public accounts from other countries, and then about 250 to 300 billion from the multilateral institutions that are largely funded by richer countries. So, you know, it's still a lot of money. We're talking about 5x potentially the amount of money that they were able to deliver in 2022. So this is an enormous jump, and we are not certain to be able to get there. And this is going to be coloring the talks in Baku, because without the money, a lot of these developing nations don't have a great way to pay for their green transitions.
And you note that there's mid-year negotiating sessions that are happening next week on this, and that you're already seeing nations draw battle lines as they head into that. So what are you seeing already?
Well, so India has already made a formal submission that they want developed countries to provide $1 trillion annually in climate finance. They've kind of left it ambiguous as to whether that would come from countries themselves or a mix of countries themselves and the multilateral institutions like the World Bank. Saudi Arabia and the Arab group that they negotiate with, the group of Arab countries, they've put that tab at $1.1 trillion. I talked to Mackay Robertson, who's an advisor to the Alliance of Small Island States, which is a very influential bloc within these negotiations, who said a lot of developing nations haven't yet put down on paper exactly how much they think is necessary, because there's an update to a report that happens every 4 years that's currently underway that will kind of put a dollar figure on the money needed to implement all these national climate and adaptation plans. So we haven't seen a lot of nations yet put forward what they are looking for, but that will come at some point.
And you also note that the U.S. and others want countries, you know, with growing economies like China, UAE, Qatar to begin contributing. And you say that that's maybe not going so well. Can you tell us more about that? And also just kind of like, what's the U.S. role in all this, given, you know, well documented, it's been a struggle to fulfill our commitments given Republican opposition in Congress and Trump, you know, potentially returning to the White House.
Right. Yes, the U.S. and the European Union and, you know, a number of other countries are trying to expand the base of countries that contribute to climate finance. So they want countries like China and the UAE and Qatar to formally put into this pot. And, you know, the argument being these are countries that were not as wealthy back in the 90s when we started talking about the UN climate process, but have grown significantly more wealthy over time, and that, you know, they should also be paying to help with this global problem. So that is the US position, and that's certainly what they're going to be working towards. But this is a consensus-driven process. There's nothing to make the UAE change its position. If it doesn't want to do it, it doesn't have to do it. So I think that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks. And you then start to get into what would you give to be able to get. And I don't think we're at that stage yet. We're just getting into the mid-year negotiations at the beginning of June in Bonn. So we're still some ways away, but you're going to start to see some of these negotiating lines become more apparent. So the U.S. position is essentially they've been increasing climate flows to other countries, but there is this realistic limitation of Congress. And what the U.S. is trying to do is work through the multilateral development banks like the World Bank to stretch the balance sheets there. The U.S. is one of the biggest shareholders in the World Bank, so they see that as being one of their value adds. Also, the U.S. economy is very large, and you know, I think that they would like to get some credit for how much technological innovation helps with around the world, but you know, that is certainly not part of the climate finance conversation in the way that UN negotiators think about it. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge for the U.S. It always has been a challenge for the U.S. to commit these dollars, and it's something that the UN process is familiar with.
Also, the Environmental Protection Agency is contemplating new climate regulations for existing natural gas-fired power plants. But in public comments submitted to EPA posted this week, utilities and industry groups caution the agency against adopting any rule that would require building significant infrastructure or risk grid reliability. Now, EPA's timeline for the rulemaking is unclear, but the comments from key industry groups posted this week potentially indicate a contentious fight is ahead over rules for existing gas plants. One last thing. Politico hosts our second annual energy summit on Wednesday, June 5th. Here, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, White House Climate Advisor Ali Zaidi, several members of Congress, and more discuss how governments are writing and rewriting new rules for the energy future in the U.S. and around the world. You can learn more and register at politico.com/live-events. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Nirma Malaikal is the podcast producer. Annie Reese, Kara Tabor, and Alex Keeney edited the podcast this week. Our editors are Matt Daly and Gloria Gonzalez. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back on Monday.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron, who is innovating to help responsibly meet rising energy demand across their U.S. operations, like at their Gulf of Mexico facilities, which are some of the world's lowest carbon intensity operations, helping supply energy that's affordable, reliable, and ever cleaner. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/meetingdemand.